It is in the small fellowship hall, right on that back wall where you go to get food on Wednesdays. And I love that Lindsay used this as much of the background for our PowerPoint this morning. This was a project that was done by Gloria Mata and some of our younger teachers. They decided they wanted to get all of the handprints of our kids. Now, some of our kids didn't want to do hands, so there's a few feet on there. And some of our kids didn't want to do hands or feet, and so their names are just written down. But I love that little painting. I stand behind that every Wednesday as you come through line, and I think about you and your families and your children, and I'm just always reminded of what's behind me, of the things that matter the most. Most of you know that we've been kind of in the midst of trying to figure out a Vision 2030, and we've come a long ways, a lot longer or a lot further than maybe you think it sometimes. And we've tried to give you some updates along the way. And one of the big things that came out of our Vision 2030 stuff was we've got to do and continue to do a better job with our children. And we're going to talk more about some real things that we're going to do here in just a few minutes. But those things matter. Now, coming out of that vision committee stuff, they said, let's have 300 kids from the age of birth until seniors in high school. And I got to thinking, man, that's a lot of kids. We probably had, I don't know, 30 up here just a few minutes ago, I'm guessing. And to say we're going to have 300 kids in just a few years is a huge undertaking. And I'm going to be honest, we can't do it, at least by ourselves. That one of the things I think we've got to believe in is that God can do it through us with our coordinated effort to serve the kingdom of God. And when I say coordinated effort, I don't just mean mom and dad. And I want us to talk more about that here in a second. We have fleshed out ideas and we have dreamed and we have thought, what ways can we better reach the children of our church and then past that, the children of our community? And one of the big things that started is we're going to redo the new building, and that's kind of in the process. That's going to be the kids zone. And so all the adults are going to be booted out and they'll go along this wall here, but that's going to be a place where not only our kids can have a place all to themselves, but where we can keep them safe. Because in the world that we live in, keeping our kids safe matters. So not just having rooms to teach them in and not just having facilities that meet their needs, we want to make sure that when they come and you bring them, that your kids will always be safe in this place. But the second thing that we said is, what do we need to do to help get them to know Jesus a little better? Now, most of you can sit for a few hours and listen to me. You don't have to listen for a few hours. You have to listen about 24, 25 minutes. But little kids don't always want to listen to the preacher for 24, 25 minutes. And so in a few minutes, we're going to talk about ways we're going to try to make that better. But before we start with either of those, I think we need to go back to the text that Oscar read a few minutes ago. But I want to go to an earlier one. Luke 18 says this, "Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him." And then Mark chapter 10 reads like this, "And they were bringing children," so a parallel passage, and Mark just expounds on it. "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant." That means he was angry. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And then he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Okay, those are two scriptures that you've probably heard me talk about before. And you've heard me talk before about the blessing of our children. And I really do believe that children are a blessing. I just have one child, but I think I have children. And that child is one of the greatest blessings that I've ever had in my life. Sometimes he brought great, incredible joy. In other moments, he probably robbed me of some joy and maybe a night's sleep every now and then. But it was a blessing from God. And one of the things I prayed as a young father and now as an older father is, God, help me to be the parent that this child needs, to lead him in a way that honors you and to point him in the right direction and to set his moorings and to do the very best I can to be the father in the image of what I see Jesus doing. But I think there's more to that than just what we do with our own kids. Okay, I count your children as one of my greatest blessings. Now that may sound a little bit odd to you, but when I think of your children, I think of them in the capacity of I'm not just their preacher, I'm the one who walks along with you to try to help in whatever way we can. And to me, they are a great blessing. And Jesus thought the same thing. My guess is Jesus loved the sound of children. Now, if you ever want to do something interesting, just listen during a sermon, not to me, but listen to what goes on around you. And you hear all kinds of things. You hear toys hit the floor. Remember when this used to be a hard floor? It was even worse. But toys will hit the floor. I won't point to this side of the room. I'll point to this side. John's toy hits the floor, and it rolls all the way to the front. And you hear laughter, and you hear giggles, and you hear the occasional angry sigh, and that's usually from Mama. But I don't hear that. You've often asked me, do you hear when our kids throw a fit? I think that's one of the greatest sounds in this church. And when your kids cry, and when your kids question, and when your kids get mad, and when your kids holler at the top of their voice, please, Daddy, don't beat me as you're walking them out. I think that's one of the greatest sounds I hear. Not the discipline part, but that's one of the greatest sounds I hear. Because children are a blessing. If Jesus can be so angry. And the word in Greek there for indignant is it's more than just a, I mean, he's ticked off. He's angry. That in the midst of that, he views himself as doing something vitally important. And the disciples are angry because they see that Jesus is wasting his time with kids. And Jesus is angry because he sees the disciples missing something that matters. Okay, every now and then I will get, and I've coined a new word in my preaching circles, every now and then I get a grumposaurus. So there's the new word for the day. It's not in the dictionary. But every now and then I get a grumposaurus, and they'll say, man, it sure was noisy in church today. And I think they want me to agree with them and say, yeah, it was. Those kids are driving me nuts too. And I say, wasn't it beautiful? Because I think that's what Jesus was trying to say to the disciples. That the disciples are coming and they're thinking, you ought to be working with adults and you ought to be teaching the gospel and you ought to be telling people how they should live and what they should do. And what Jesus is going to do is he's going to say, you've got a total lack of understanding about stuff that matters the most. And then he goes into this little kind of kingdom teaching and he's going to say, the essence of the kingdom is seen in these kids. It's seen in these that are huddled up in my arms. It's seen in these that are making a racket. It's seen in these that are in the midst of a temper tantrum. It's seen in these that you want to send off. And Jesus does something important. And I want to call us to the same thing. Because if Jesus valued children as much as it appears he does in Mark 10 and Luke 18, then his church ought to value children the same way. And here's what Jesus did. He gave them first time. In the midst of his teaching, in the midst of an important ministry that's going on, he took time with the kids and with their parents to say, let me honor them and let me bless them. Okay, you will notice that if we are standing in the gym talking and one of our little kids runs up to me and grabs my leg and says, hey, Doug, that I will stop talking to the adult and talk to the little kid. Now, I'm not about to give him a lecture on interrupting. That's your job as parents. But he's got something to say to the preacher, and so I'm going to pay attention to that. And hopefully you understand that. So when you see my attention go from you talking about the game on Saturday to now hearing somebody else talk about what they learned in Journeyland, no, I'm just trying to imitate Jesus. That I'm trying to give them my time. Let them know that the preacher cares about them. I think I've told this before. Maybe the biggest reason I'm a preacher is because of an old preacher named Don Cantor. And Don Cantor was the preacher where my parents were converted. So we were living in Golden, Colorado, and that was the preacher who was preaching when I was just a little boy. My parents had just gotten married. I used to sit there and watch the song leader sing, and I would wave my arms just like the song leader, but sing off key. And so everybody figured out I wouldn't be the song leader. I'd have to be something else. And Don Cantor, every time I'd run by, he would say, "Hey, Dougie, how you doing?" Do not say, "Hey, Dougie, how you doing?" A few people get that line. None of you were them. "Hey, Dougie, how you doing?" And he'd give me five as I ran by. And I will never forget that old preacher. He was probably my age. Who just took a time just to give a kid a high five. And that mattered to me as a five-year-old. And that mattered to me when I watched you do it with my child. And it matters to me when I see you do it with all the rest of the children of this place. So Jesus gave them time. But then the second thing is Jesus, and I this isn't worded the best way, and I almost changed it, but he gave them touch. He loved them. And I don't know if it's the high five. Little Kara comes and she gives me a hug on the leg, and everybody in this church knows I don't like to hug, but Kara gets a free hug. But in the midst of that, Jesus said, "Let them come and be with me and be around me." And then I think Jesus prayed over them just as much or maybe more than I do. And I want to call you to the same thing. Okay, we've got this great little app on our phones called the Pictorial Directory. And in that pictorial directory, you've got a picture of almost every family we have in our church. Take 10 minutes every day and just scroll through that directory. And when you get to a spot that's got a bunch of kids in it, you pray over them. And you flip a little more and you get to another spot where there's some more kids. You got their names right below. Pray over them. And when you see them running up and down the halls and running in our auditorium and playing during Wednesdays after church, and they run by you, say, "Hey, how are you?" It matters. Because I think it's what Jesus would do. And if we're going to be a church that does what Jesus does, then I think we're going to be a church that looks after our kids. Remember, we got a little line that we came up with a few months ago. We exist to know Jesus and to make him known. The knowing Jesus, that's the part we're doing with ourselves, but to make him known is what we're doing outside. But one of our most important audiences is that audience of our children. So what are we going to do? Okay, the first thing we're going to do here in this place is we are going to continue with what I think is one of the most inventive children's programs that I have ever seen. We have been running Journeyland. I love that Myra is here because Myra kind of runs Journeyland at a church down the street in another town. We got the idea really from Hermosa in Artesia. They were doing a great job at Journeyland, and we saw that, and then we went to Memorial Avenue in Oklahoma City where this whole thing started, and our people watched how they did Journeyland, and then we kind of brought Journeyland to our place and kind of made it our own. And one of the things that I think we do better than anything else in this church is this little program called Journeyland. And so we're going to continue with it. Melissa runs Journeyland now. It's interesting, Myra either ran or runs it in Artesia, and Melissa runs it here. I think we got sisters that have got a common theme. But we're going to continue with that program because we think it's not only working, but we think it's one of the best ways to teach the gospel to our kids. So let me give you, if you're new, or maybe if you don't know what Journeyland is all about, let me give you just a little synopsis. If your kids are in the program the entire time of Journeyland, they will go from cover to cover in the Bible. They will cover Old Testament stuff. They will cover New Testament stuff. They'll even cover some stuff in the prophets that we don't always do in the adult classes. And they will get a complete knowledge of what God has had to say to them, not only through Jesus and Paul, but through some of the great characters in Scripture. And they're going to do it in a few ways. And these are the six ways that we're going to do it. I lost my train of thought and I was going to delete something and now I put it back in. The kids get it these ways. They get it first in a Bible story. They'll get somebody who'll come in, and maybe they're telling the story of David, and they'll get it reenacted to them, or they'll get it told to them. They'll get it in a classroom situation. They'll get geography lessons. They'll learn where Bethlehem was and where Jerusalem was and where David ran from Saul. And they'll learn through arts and crafts. And one of the favorite things is they'll do what are called reflections. And it's one of the coolest things that's done with our kids. And they'll do these reflections on what they've learned and how they've processed the stories. And they'll do games and trivia. I am amazed how well they know a section when they are done with that. It was a few years ago. They had done the section on the kings. And they had talked about Jeroboam the second. Okay, now if I were to ask the adults in this church, tell me about Jeroboam the second, 20% of you might get it. If I were to ask the kids who were present during that Journeyland stuff a few years ago, tell me about Jeroboam the second, most of them would know it better than we do. What they are doing is so important and so good to show them not only God's time frame and how he's going to save us, but how all these characters fit in the midst of that. And so I believe your kids are getting the very best we have to offer in regard to their children's curriculum. So on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, if you don't have your kids coming, you're missing out on a great opportunity to teach them and to have them be taught. Okay, we're going to talk about some volunteerism here in a second. But if you've never watched Journeyland, go talk to Melissa and say, I'd like to be a journeyman. Being a journeyman is one of the easiest things to do. You're in charge of attendance, and you're in charge of separating a few papers. It is not rocket scientists. You don't have to teach the class. You don't have to give some huge presentation. You get to spend some time with the kids. Just go and jump in and see what's going on, and I think you'll be amazed by what we're doing. Okay, the second thing we're going to do is we're going to launch a new program starting next Sunday. One of the things that came out of the Vision 2030 stuff was, how can we teach our kids a little bit better than in the sermon that they've got to listen to for 20 minutes? And at least one of the ideas that came out of that is we would, when it comes to the time for the sermon, we would dismiss the kids, A, so parents could listen a little better, and B, so that kids could get a similar lesson with some worship on their own back in the other part of the building. And so the two that have been commissioned to kind of lead this program are Taryn Hotallen and Emily Cometti. Both of them who have lots of children in our programs, both of whom have a huge heart for our kids and for our young families. And so starting next Sunday, we will do a song that will come after the contribution. And during that song, we will send our kids out. They may challenge you. We may do some other things during that song where maybe they call you to bring a donation of cans for the pantry or to help give for this purpose or that purpose. But they're going to challenge you, and then they're going to be challenged in there. And it's going to be not only a place where kids can worship and sing some of the songs they know. They don't know Blessed Assurance. As much as Rolla and I love Blessed Assurance, our kids don't know that. But they can go and they can sing and they can get a Bible lesson and they can learn more about God in that avenue. Let me say one more thing. There's a reason we're not going to have a children's church for an entire hour. We're going to have children's church for about 20, 25 minutes. One of the things that I know Emily and Taryn are convinced of, and that I am convinced of, is that our kids need to be with us. I think our kids need to be with us as we sing and as we praise. And I think our kids need to be with us as we hear Scripture read, and we'll start doing a little more Scripture reading within our worship services. And I think our kids need to be with us as they ask the hard question, saying, why are you doing that? Why are you peeling that off of the top of that cup? And what does that mean? And why are you putting that in the plate? So we don't want them to be totally devoid of us, but we want to try to see if we can meet two other needs. So starting next week, if your children are between the ages of 3 and 11, okay, so let me say it again, between 3 and 11, and we'll talk more about it next week, we're going to send them with Taryn and Emily and a few others to the other end of the building. Okay. Now here's what we need from you. If we know that Jesus says over and over and over that children matter, and if we recognize that we as Country Club Road have said we believe Jesus and children matter, then we all need to act that way. I guess in theory, I no longer have children living under my roof. And it would be pretty easy for me to say, you know what, I'm done. Okay, if you are my age or older and now have the empty nest, let me preach to you what I've got to preach to myself. You are not done. Church isn't a place you retire from. Serving the Lord isn't a place where you say, well, I've done my duty, I've taught my classes, I've checked my boxes, now I want to sit here. Okay, the most difficult thing we have at this church is getting people to step up and help. And so let me for a second be a little hard on us. I hear lots of great ideas. Well, we should do this, and 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 we should do this. And why aren't we doing this, and this, and this, and this? And sometimes my answer is as plain and simple as this. We don't have enough manpower to do it. Well, let's hire somebody. I wished we could go hire, like some churches do, and have a staff of 10 or 12 ministers of various levels. But we can't. So this is what we've got. We've got us. And I think us is enough. What I see in the early church is I don't see everything staffed out to staff members. What I see in the early church is there being somebody who comes in every now and then and preaches, and everybody else jumps in and does what needs to be done. And that's what we need from you. We need you to jump in and do what needs to be done. I know I hear from some, from maybe some of the older ones, well, what's our church going to look like in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? And the answer is, I don't know yet. But what are we going to do as the gray heads to help make sure this church is around in 10 and 20 and 30 years? Because what I have found is children need more than just their nuclear family. I think children need what I would like to call a nurturing community. Okay, here's what I mean by it. I was determined that we would not make Jonas switch schools. And so once Jonas started school, I was determined, unless the elders said, see ya, buddy, I was determined to make sure I stayed with you for 12 years. So that Jonah could start kindergarten. That's actually 13, isn't it? So Jonah could start kindergarten, and so we could finish the 12th grade, and he could be in the same place his whole entire life. Because I think that matters. Because I think community matters. And I think the fact that community matters, I would watch my kid run up and down the same aisles your kids run up and down, and I would watch... I have two great memories of David in regard to kids. One of them is Jonah ran by, and I think it might have been right here. Jonah ran by 100 miles an hour, and David grabbed him up by his big old paw and said, hey, Jonah, how you doing? And Jonah kind of freaked out for a second, but he has loved David ever since that moment because it's a nurturing community. Because here was this old guy, not that you're old, but my kid thought you were old, I'm sure. Here's this old guy who pays attention to me because community matters. But I think our young families need you as well. I want to read two passages that come from Titus and from 1 Timothy. And I think they're intriguing that we need to hear. So train the young women to love their husbands and children. Okay, now that's right smack in the middle of a paragraph. And Paul is talking to various people at the church at that point. And he's going to say to the older women, you've got a responsibility. Okay, let's keep reading from a different book. Paul says this in 1 Timothy 5, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. So stop there for a second. You're saying, what on earth does that have to do with us? Notice what comes after the colon. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work, and then keep going. Maybe there's not a keep going. After all that's been done, the whole idea is she's going to then model that. Okay, some of you have been done raising your kids in theory. Not that you ever stop being a parent, but you have stopped raising your kids in your home for 5 years, 10 years, 30 years. You've got a privilege and an opportunity to walk hand in hand with the families who are here who are trying to do exactly that. And I think that matters. Because I know there have been moments in my parenting life where I needed an older man or an older family that I could sit down with a cup of coffee and I could say, how can I do this better? Because in the Bible, raising children has never been a solo act. It is always the people of God joined together to do that. Okay, I asked Melissa, how many kids right now do we have from nursery to the end of Journeyland? Okay, so right now, from nursery, so from the infants up to Journeyland, which is what, fifth grade, sixth grade? We've got 49 kids. So 49 kids that are in and out of those programs, and most of those are in. That matters. So here's my question. What are you going to do for those 49 handprints? What are you going to do for those kids whose names are on that sign? What are you going to do for those children that are running around in the gym in just a few minutes? And maybe just as important, what are you going to do to bless their parents? Okay, the best way you can do it is jump on board with us. Jump on board and help out. Jump on board and maybe you want to help in Children's Church, or maybe you want to help in Journeyland, or maybe you want to help with the nursery or the twos and threes or the fours, fives. And maybe you just need to pray over them every single day and be part of their activities and part of what goes on a Friday after school when they have an open gym. But find a way, no matter what your age is, no matter what your gifts are, where you can bless them. One of my favorite things that we did, this is probably 10 years ago, is we had date night, and we had, I don't know, I think it was four or five older couples. When I say older, I mean a little bit older than me, that would come and would run the gym so all of the young parents could go out and eat dinner or go to a movie, or some of them just went home and sat in the chair and breathed. I would hear more comments from those families that said that meant so much to us that for that block of 3 hours, we knew our kids were safe, and we knew our kids were with God's people, and we knew our kids were not with us. And they needed that. Okay, I am on our young families all of the time that they need to go on dates, and I'm on them all the time that they need to realize their marriage comes first, and then parenting comes second, and if they don't cultivate that marriage is going to go the wrong way, and they've heard me say that a million times, and we need to help them out. Because when their marriage is strong, they're going to model that to their children, and their children are going to live that. And we can all help out in that. I'm looking forward to the Sunday when we don't have an announcement on the board that says we need this, this, and this. I'm looking forward to the day in our announcements where it says we have all things filled. Hold on, we'll get to you as quick as we can. But right now, we need you. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're great with kids or not. We got all kinds of stuff. What matters is that our kids are the most important thing. When it comes to the matter of children, the answer of the church is every single one of them matters. They all matter. And I hope you're that way. So the call this morning is, what can you do to show that? Not just your kids, not just your grandkids, some of you, maybe even your great grandkids. What can you do to show that to the kid who's further down the pew? And what can you do to show that to the kid who's up here trying to lead songs after church, or to preach on the microphone, or to do whatever it is that's before them? What can you do to show them that they matter? Okay, here's my project. I want you to know them by name. Now, some of our families that have 3-4 kids, I wish you wouldn't do that to me. Because I call Lane Carter, and I call Carter Lane all the time, and I apologize to those 2 boys. Know them by name. And when they run by you, give them a high five. And when you see them in line at the thing, ask them what kind of cookie they're eating, and see if you'll get them to share with you. Just show this much interest that says you matter to me too. And then if you're close to their parents, find a way to help them. Maybe to give them a break on a Friday night. Maybe to help them out in the midst of some school activities. Maybe just to go sit with them and watch a soccer game on Saturday. But just be present. Because they deserve it, they need it, and they matter. Okay, we're going to sing the first verse of an invitation song. We haven't talked about anything first principles outside of love children like Jesus does. But if you need to have the church's prayers, we're always here for that. If you need to be baptized, what better way to celebrate that than a new birth that comes into the kingdom of God? But if you need something, I'll be here. Elders will be at each door. So let us know as we stand and as we sing. Rolla?